Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for waiting. Welcome to Raia Drogasil conference call to discuss its first quarter of 2016 results. We inform you that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At that time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the safe harbor of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of Raia Drogasil management and on information currently available to the company. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of Raia Drogasil and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Okay, thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the presentation of the results of the first quarter 2016 in Raia Drogasil. As always, Eugênio will present the results, and just before the Q&A, I would like to stress some items and talk with you about the results and sales also. Eugênio, please.
Okay. Hello, everyone. Thanks for attending our first conference call. I'd like to start saying that in spite of the very tough comp base of the first Q 2015, we were able to deliver another outstanding quarter with significant EBITDA and net income growth. We ended the quarter with 1,274 stores by opening 39 stores in the first quarter of the year. Gross revenues reached 2.6 billion in the quarter, 26.2% increase versus last year, and retail same-store sales growth of 16%. It's important to mention also that over the last 12 months, we have achieved 10 billion in revenues. Our gross margins reached 28.7%, 0.2 percentage point increase, while the EBITDA reached 193 million, a slight margin contraction of 0.1. The margin was 7.3% in the quarter, but a very significant increase in absolute amounts, north of 25% versus last year. Adjusted net income, 100.8 million, 3.8% margin, and an increase of 23.8% versus last year. Finally, we had in the quarter negative cash flow of 161 million and negative free cash flow of 161 million and negative total cash flow of 167 million reais due to the negative working capital seasonality of the quarter. On page four, let's talk about our expansion. We reached 1,274 stores by the end of the quarter. We opened in this quarter alone 39 stores, and this is more than twice what we had opened last year in the same exact quarter. We're starting the year in a pretty good fashion here. Looking over the last 12 months, we reached the record of 176 stores. This is a very high number. We're still maintaining our guidance of 165 stores. As you remember, the idea was to reduce openings in December and better employ our idle capacity through the other quarters, and we're doing exactly that. There could be an upside risk depending on how our prospections and openings go in the next quarter, but still the most probable number is 165. And finally here, discussing the age structure of our store portfolio, in the quarter, 32.8% of the stores were still undergoing maturation. This is the lowest number over the last five quarters. However, when we dig inside the maturing stores, we have a much lower proportion of year three nearly mature stores and a much higher proportion of year one stores, which are just beginning. So this portfolio is at least equivalent, if not fresher, than what we have seen over the last previous quarters when we factor that effect. On page five, talking about our geographic presence, of the 1,271 stores, 612 have been higher, 659 either Drogasil or Farmazil. We reached 749 stores in the state of São Paulo and 70 stores in the Northeast. Going forward, I mean, these are two very critical blocks, building blocks of our growth. So São Paulo is always our main area for expansion, and the Northeast will be the second most important chunk of stores to be opened this year. Talking about market shares, we gained or preserved share in every single region where we operate. So our national market share increased by 100 basis points, reaching 10.7. So this is a record growth for Raia Drogasil from one year to the other. In São Paulo, market share grew by 1.4 percentage points to 22.3. Southeast, slight growth of 0.3. Flat numbers in the Midwest. It's important also to remember that since we did our acquisition in Goiânia in 2013, we haven't opened a single store in the market because our density is very high. So obviously we're losing share there. It's impossible to gain share without opening stores. And this is offsetting the significant share gains in other markets in the Midwest. In the South, we reached 5.6, 0.8 percentage point increase. And the Northeast, we reached 3.4, 1.3 percentage point increase. Page six, we posted in this quarter a very strong revenue growth, north of 26% on a consolidated basis. So this is an outstanding number. Breaking down by company, Raia Drogasil grew north of 25%, which is really unbelievable growth for a 10 billion reais company. And 4Bio grew a mesmerizing 86% versus last year. Here, as Raia Drogasil bought 55% of 4Bio, and as we stabilized the finances and restored supply credit, 4Bio is now being able to deliver its full potential and the company is flying. Within retail, HPC was the main category in our sales mix in terms of growth. It grew 27.3%, an increase from 28.2 to 28.6%. So 40 bps increase in the quarter. OTC remained flat, and HPC diluted both generics and branded RX. On page seven, talking about same-store sales, our retail same-store sales totaled 16%, while mature store growth was of 12.2%. So this is a really high number. And this is a number we achieved on the back of, first, a very strong structural performance. Second, we had major sales peaks due to the Zika virus prevention, due to an earlier flu season that hit Sao Paulo and southern part of Brazil in March, so earlier than normal. And also, with a price increase from March to April of 12%, our customers also decided to do forward buying. So there is a strong buying anticipation in the quarter that also helped achieve these numbers. It's also important to mention that the leap year produced a positive effect of 0.8 percentage point since we have an extra day of sales in the quarter. And this is very meaningful for retailing. Page 8, we reached a gross margin of 28.7, a 20 basis points increase versus last year. And our cash cycle decreased by 0.8 percentage points versus the first quarter of last year. However, comparing to the fourth quarter of 2015, we recorded an increase in cash cycle around 9 days. And the main factor here is the negative seasonality of the first quarter. Every first quarter is the worst cash cycle moment for the company, and the fourth quarter is the best working capital moment for the company. So this is always a quarter of meaningful cash consumption. Page 9, we reached our operating expenses reached 21.4% of revenues, a 20 basis points pressure. This 20 basis points pressure can be broken down in a 10 bps dilution in administrative expenses as a function of our scale gains, and a 30 basis points pressure at the sales expense level. This 30 bps pressure can be also broken down in 30 bps of labor, 20 bps of electricity, and 20 bps of new stores and pre-operation expenses. So this is a pressure we anticipated. Obviously, as we're growing much faster, that is a higher token that our new stores are taking us. However, we reached 20 bps in other dilutions and 20 bps in 4 bio dilutions that mitigated those pressures. In the end, the most important factor here is that the last price increase we had before April was of 6% at a time in which inflation was 8%. And inflation reached 10% in the quarter. So this gap between the 6% price increase and the 10% expense inflation is a huge gap. So there's no way we could have maintained expenses flat in a scenario like that. What happened is that we had much tougher expectations for the quarter in the end of last year, but the outstanding sales performance helped tremendously in diluting or in preventing bigger expense pressure and in allowing us to deliver flattish margins and grow and strongly growing EBITDA. On page 10, our EBITDA reached 193 million, 7.3%, a slight margin decline versus last year. But the important number here is that the EBITDA grew more than 25% in absolute terms. And this is what matters for us. So the growth hugely offset the slight margin pressure that we saw. It's also important to mention that if we disconsider the stores opened since January, so the same store base we had in December, we're talking about 1,235 stores, they reached 2.6 billion of gross revenues and 207.1 million of EBITDA, fully attributing to the stores our administrative expenses and our full logistic expenses. So we would have an EBITDA margin of 7.8%. So this is an important number to illustrate the impact of the stores open in the quarter or in the process of opening. It's a 50 bps margin difference. Raia Drogasil reached 191 million EBITDA, a flat margin of 7.4%. While 4Bio reached 1.8 million in EBITDA, a margin of 2.5%. The best margin comparison is not on the EBITDA, but it's on the EBIT, because 4Bio is much more capital efficient. 4Bio almost doesn't have CapEx and has a much lower working capital investment than Hydrogen. So EBIT and EBITDA for 4Bio is almost the same. It's only a 10 bps difference here. It's important also to mention that 4Bio had a huge growth, but the main categories that drove that growth are lower margin categories, oncology and hepatitis C, in which we're servicing health operators in a managed care environment exactly identical to the U.S. market. So the growth was amazing, but was concentrated on categories of lower EBITDA margins. Our adjusted net income reached 101 million in the quarter, a 10 bps margin decrease as well, but a 23.8% net income increase in absolute terms, which is it's a very good number for us. On page 12, we experienced meaningful cash pressure in the quarter. Our free cash flow was a negative 161 million, and our total cash flow was a negative 157 million reais. Resources from operations were much better than last year, 40 million higher. However, we recorded 130 million more in working capital investments and 40 million more in CapEx. Regarding the working capital investment, what happens here is that, first of all, we're comparing first quarter with fourth quarter. So it's the worst quarter versus the best quarter. So it's always a negative number. And it was also negative last year. However, this year's number is much worse than last year because we had a significant cash cycle reduction over the last 2 years that reduced significantly our working capital needs. Now, with a one-day cash cycle reduction, so a more normalized performance, the working capital investment is also normalized. So this is more typical of what we'll see coming forward. And then, finally here, on page 13, we have generated year-to-date a total shareholder return of 47%. Those investors who bought shares at the Drogasil IPO in 2007 have realized 35.8% average annual value creation, 29.4% since 2007. And for those who invested at high IPOs in 2010, the average annual returns have been around 36%. So it's a very meaningful value creation, and we believe the best is still ahead. So I'll pass now to Marcelo for his considerations, and then we get back to Q&A. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Eugenio. Okay, we are very proud about these results. Okay, we know that the peak of the environment in Brazil right now, and we know how important for us to reach the good results right now. I put here in this slide 14 two examples of how we work with when we have problems and have opportunities in our company. Okay. The first one is the Zika virus. We know that in October and November that the customers will be need the products to prevent with Zika virus in that time. Okay, we talk with the suppliers, we talk with the stores also. We prepare all the stores to receive the customers, how to make lists with the customers, and we never increase the price also. Okay, we did a very very strong performance in this. We reached 40% of the total share of the market, only because we only look for the customer needs. We knew how important it is for the customers in this category. What's good here also, it is a new category for us, and the pharmacies right now is the category when the people can find the item to prevent about the nuts, okay? The other point that helped us a lot is the store development and the expansion plan. We opened 176 stores in year-to-date, not year-to-date, in the next 12 months. We opened 62 stores in the last quarter of 2015 and 39 stores in this quarter. All these are record numbers. We opened not stores we opened only corners, very, very good corners with good quality stores. The people are well-trained. The people is ready for the business. You know how important is the cushion to do this well. And we opened the stores also in places that the competition is very weak. This helped us to reach a very, very strong initial performance. This helped us in the business right now. And this can confirm for us our guidance for 2015. Then we are opening 195 stores in 2017. And maybe you can confirm our guidance for this year, which 165 stores also. For 2016, I think the year will be great if you look at the profitability for us. We know the price increase can help us in the look all the expenses, in the look all the, and we have to increase the gross margin also. It's important to know that this is the first price increase that's above the inflation, below the inflation, since 2009. This is good for the price right now, but we don't know about the next season, okay? We have a lot of initiatives for the productivity in the stores, for example, try to negotiate the rental contracts, work with the labor productivity in stores, work with the labor productivity in the CDs also. All these help us in our results in 2017. Our view is still the same view, a long-term view. We know we are very, very smart in how to consolidate this market in the future, okay? But you know it's very, very important for us right now and to serve better customers. We're looking for this right now, not to change our strategy just because we have a good results in this year. Right now, we can go for the questions, and I'm here with Eugenio also. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. In order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our first question comes from Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for taking my question. Hi, Marcelo and Eugenio. I have a question regarding the expansion plans. It seems that the new stores, they're performing quite well. So I'd like to understand how are you seeing the returns of those new stores? Because if I'm not wrong, you have a minimum threshold of an IRR of 20% real. So I'd like to understand if those new stores, they're performing better or in line with expectations, and if you can give some granularity per region. So like the Northeast ones are performing better than the ones that you opened in São Paulo, for example, that would be great. Thank you.
Okay, Joseph, thanks for the question. I mean, the quality of the program has been remarkable. We're very happy with the stores we have opened over the last few years and very happy with the stores we have opened year to date. I mean, I don't have specific numbers to get, but we are consistently reaching the return targets we have established. And so we remain very optimistic with the expansion. Another important thing is that 2014 and 15 have been amazing vintages for us, probably better than the previous vintages. And 2016 is too early to say, because not only we have opened a small number of stores, but those stores have operated for a small number of weeks, but it's looking very promising as well. So we're very happy. We think that there may be other retailers who do some things better than us, but we're confident that nobody in Brazil has the same kind of know-how and structure and track record for, again, growth versus the one we have.
Remember, Joseph, we're looking for corners, not only for stores, okay? We have to open stores with good quality, with good team, ready for the customer. This is the point, not only open stores. Then the ROIC is very, very good for us until right now.
Yeah, we also have a very strong pipeline, so we're very close to concluding the prospection for this year. And to start prospecting for next year. So we're fully on track to meet our guidance. And depending on how we do next quarter, there could be a possibility of doing slightly more than that. We'll see how it plays out, but still the most probable number for the year is 165.
On the return side, just to clarify a little bit, what has been the main driver to those like surprising stories by like productivity is much higher than you actually anticipated, or that you're getting like higher margins than you expected, or it's like more like a blend of both? Thank you.
I think it's a combination of things. Our gross margin has been increasing, so this helps a lot because with the same revenue level, the returns go up. So this is a very, very important factor. Another important factor is that we have opened a lot of stores in markets in which we have a huge competitive edge versus the local competitors, like in the Northeast. Those stores have tremendous returns profile. If you compare the growth until, let's say, 2011 or so, I mean, those were the years in which we were entering new markets. And whenever you enter in a new uncharted territory, it's always challenging, it's always tougher, it's always a return pressure. So the initial stores in a new market have lower returns. They don't reach 20%. But now we are at a stage in which we are only opening in existing markets. And even the expansion to the Northeast follow pretty much what happens in an existing market, since the competitive edge versus the local players is so big. And finally, I think there is also a learning curve. I mean, we learn from our we do a couple of mistakes every year. We learn from them. We also learn from the good decisions that we take and try to reinforce some of those decisions. Our methodology is constantly evolving. I think our people are more and more used to operate under this kind of analytics, under this kind of decision framework, and so things get better and better. We absolutely see no diminishing returns.
Yeah, and thinking about the rest of the year, the new prices should be like a huge booster to top-line growth, so we shouldn't expect any major deceleration from the levels in the first Q. Am I assuming that correctly?
Well, first Q was very helped by the Zika peak and the earlier flu season. As you said, I mean, with the 12% price increase, I think the trend should be very good. It's too early to tell where our revenues will land. And this is really the million-dollar question for the year. Depending on where the revenue growth lands, this has different implications in terms of margins. In the end, the question is, will we experience volume contractions? Because it's very possible that with a 12% price increase, volumes go down 1%, 2%, 3%. So we don't know exactly where it will land. But I don't know if the number going forward will be 25%. It's possible that this could happen. I think certainly it's higher than 20. So low 20s to mid 20s, something like that. We'll see.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thanks.
Our next question comes from Mr. Guilherme Assis from Brasil Plural.
Hi, Eugenio and Marcelo. Thanks for taking my call. I think we discussed a lot about the growth prospects and the margins. I'd like to understand in this context, how are you guys seeing the competition? Because we know that some of the players in Brazil, they're not on a comfortable situation, I think on the contrary. But there are some others that have been still around with a good balance sheet and also with the recent entry of private equities and so on. So how are you guys seeing these competitors, not the ones that are utterly under distress, but the ones that have been around and continue competing with you, and the ones that are emerging, like maybe from the Northeast? And also, how are you guys seeing the M&A environment in Brazil, like for international players, for local players? Are you guys seeing any move? Have you been approached by any players in order to acquire smaller assets maybe? And would you guys consider anything like in this environment? That's my question. Thank you.
Okay, Guilherme, thank you. I think the competitive scenario, it varies a lot depending on who we're talking about. I mean, certainly there are a lot of players who are leveraged, and whoever is leveraged is in deep trouble because, interest rates have been higher than 20%. It's a huge cash drag for any retailer. So we have seen many retailers suffering in varying degrees. So we have a middle-sized chain here in São Paulo who basically closed every store. We have another one in the Midwest in trying to enter into Chapter 11. We have other local players who are also very leveraged and very close to a situation like that. But at the same time, you have players like Drogaria São Paulo who are very well capitalized. They don't have any major net debt. They operate also really well. So, a company like that is certainly not suffering. from the crisis. And I think we have seen also Pagmenos raising capital, so this is, I think, very good for them. But, I mean, okay, obviously they will open more stores than they were opening before, but when you look overall, I don't think that changes dramatically the picture for the market. So we are the number one chain in Brazil and the one growing the fastest. So we will comfortably increase our revenue base this year alone north of 2 billion reais. I mean, this is a lot of money. This is more than number 5 and 6 players, Panvel and Araújo. So this is like if you were buying the number 5 player every year, but doing that organically with great returns, with a great return profile, with a great security profile, much lower execution risk, much lower financial risk. So, and going out to your next question and then putting the two questions together, I mean, in a scenario like that, we see no need for M&A. I mean, there are a lot of assets being offered around. We are very disciplined. We look, we analyze, we discuss. I wouldn't say something is impossible, but I don't think it's likely. And even if something happened, it would be most likely an asset transaction that has a much easier integration. So then it's only a matter of asset quality, price, and return expectation. But we wouldn't do a real M&A require integration. We have a huge agenda inside the company for improving our execution, for delivering better service to our customer, for increasing productivity, and we don't want to get distracted by an acquisition.
Okay, but like for the market in general, Eugenio, have you seen or have you noticed any moves or any activity on the M&A side that you think that could change maybe or that could affect the competitive landscape for the industry?
I don't know if I understood your question. Could you repeat, Guilherme?
Sure. Have you seen any moves, not only operations being offered to you, but have you seen any moves or have you noticed any potential moves in the industry that maybe you won't be part of it, but that could change any potential competitive landscape for you guys or for the industry?
Well, I mean,
do you think there's anything that could happen? Like, is there anything on your radar that could happen that could affect the competitive landscape in Brazil?
Okay. Well, even in this environment, I mean, Brazil is drawing tremendous attention in this market from global players. So, I think the two main global players, Walgreens Boots Alliance and CVS, I mean, they have all been looking to the market. CVS has an asset in Brazil. Walgreens Boots Alliance is still not here, but they have been going around the market for more than 10 years. They know the market in an excruciating level of detail. So the interest is certainly there. The thing is, all the good assets are expensive. And the cheap assets, they are value traps. So their entry has been in the case of Walgreens, it hasn't happened. In the case of CVS, they only bought one company, which is a small company. So I think the prices are making their entry tougher. Another thing is that this is a global market. So, I mean, we respect them tremendously. I mean, they are amazing companies. We look up to them very often. We try to learn from them. But Brazil is a different market. This is not a global sector. They have very successful, both of them, sourcing joint ventures. You cannot bring the generics from India into Brazil. We have huge regulatory barriers. So the supply chain is fully local. The formats are local. The regulation is local. The brands are local. So in the end, I think if they buy top-notch assets, I think they will do well in the market. If they buy a bad asset, just because they are so great outside in the U.S. or in Europe or around the world doesn't mean they will have success here. We have in this market a long list of new entrants who have one by one failed miserably. I could recall Casa Saba, I could recall Faza in 2000, I could recall our other public competitor, who you know who I'm talking about. So it's difficult to find new entrants success story. I think it's too late for someone to enter organically. I mean, we're growing 2 billion revenues per year. You don't move the needle if you buy a small company and open 10, 20, 30, 50 stores a year. It's too late for them. So at some point, I think they'll be here. And it will, for us, it's not much of a change because whoever they buy, we'll be still competing with the same stores. We'll be still competing with the same brands. We're still competing with the same execution. And very likely with the same management. So whoever they buy, so I don't see that as a threat. I see that as something naturally will happen over time, but that's not a threat for us. I think in retailing, the best local player has an edge over global players. We are more agile. We know better the market. We have our feet in the ground. So I think this is a big competitive advantage. It doesn't mean that the new entrants will necessarily fail like the ones I mentioned before. But I don't see it as a threat.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Eugene.
Okay, thanks.
It appears to be no further questions. I will turn the conference back to Mr. Eugenio de Zagottis for his final remarks.
Well, just before my final remarks, I'd like to stress our IR calendar on page 15 and also some things we have been doing. We launched on March 21st our ADR level 1. So we don't think this is a silver bullet for the stock, but it's another step towards a better international presence, towards more visibility by the capital markets, towards making the lives of foreign investors easier, and towards bringing new base of new pools of capital to our share. So this is a long-term project, and we're excited to see how it goes. Then we report in earnings in the year always within the next month. So the second quarter we report July 28th. Third quarter, we report October 27. We have been the first drugstore chain or wholesaler to report the numbers. And considering the whole pharma industry as a whole, we have been the first along with supermarkets to report. And I think for us it's important and we want to keep being like that. Finally, we have two major conferences scheduled outside of Brazil. On May 18 and 19, Marcelo and myself will be in New York for the Itaú CEO conference. And September 12 to 14, both of us will be in London for the Morgan Stanley Latin American conference. So just to summarize some of the things we have been saying and how we look the company forward, I mean, this was another excellent quarter. This is a quarter that back in the fourth quarter, when we were thinking about the year, we saw it as a major challenge because we had a very low expense comp base that we knew we wouldn't be able to match because, as I mentioned, our last price increase was 6% when inflation was 8% and inflation in the quarter was 10%. Obviously, our strong execution in terms of revenues, both structural growth and taking advantage of some of the peaks we saw, like Zika, like the early flu season, like the customers forward buying that I mentioned. I mean, these allowed us to achieve an unmatched level of growth. I mean, this is a historical record of 26% of the consolidated company. And these allowed us to mitigate expense pressure. So we had a flat quarter in terms of margins, but with significant value growth, absolute growth, because of the top line. Now we are entering in a different stage of the year, as the prices have increased already in April by 12%. First of all, this will generate a huge inflationary gain on inventories in the second quarter. So we're certainly posting a record quarter in the second quarter. This is great, but obviously this is something we can only count this year. We know that second quarter next year, life will be tough because the price increase will be much lower, and obviously we'll be unable to match what we're doing second quarter this year. So in the end, what matters is not that much this forward buying gain. In the end, what matters is the fact that this price increase will allow us to dilute expenses through the year and to build up a low entry cost base for 2017. We still need to see where revenues will stabilize, what happens on the volume side. So it's difficult now to call precisely what the year will be like, but regardless, I mean, of what happens, we will see meaningful expense dilution and we'll be able to enter next year with a lower comp base than we inherited this year. And this will be very important for 2017. We have also a relentless focus on productivity. We are firing on all cylinders here. We are renegotiating rental contracts. It's still early in the game, but the initial signs have been great. It doesn't make a ton of difference this year, but we are also setting ground for rental dilution next year. We still don't know how big, but most likely we'll see some kind of rental dilution next year. We are improving how we do our staffing, how we deploy people by stores to be more efficient. More efficient sometimes means less people, sometimes means more people. To deliver higher revenues, but having the ideal number of people per store, having that done in a more scientific way, so this is something we're doing. We have been upgrading our sales platforms, so there's a lot of things happening. We are already piloting a new version of our POS systems, brings new functionalities for us. We have been upgrading our telecom infrastructure. So our store operation is very highly dependent on data lines because of loyalty cards and because of programs involving manufacturers that we have to do the eligibility checks. So we are increasing the bandwidth for the stores, and this is also very important. So many things are happening. Certainly, we're seeing a major margin increase this year. It's still early to be precise, but I think we should be at least around 8.5 in the year. I don't know if we can do more or not. We'll see in a couple of months, depending on where our revenue lands. But the most important is we're already working for a strong 2017. We know that next year, this one-off factor of the forward buying will penalize last year versus this year. But our aim is to generate productivity enough to maintain the margins. I don't know if that will be the case. Frankly, if the margin goes up or down a couple bits, that's not very important. What's important is sustain growth over the longer term, and this we have been able to do. So I'd like to thank you all for attending this call. I'd like to thank our shareholders who have been with us not only in the good times, but also through more shaky times. So we appreciate your trust, and we're happy to deliver what you expect from us. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Hiya Drogasil's conference call is finished. Have a nice day.